Now it's that time, just before the weekend, when we look back at the business stories making the news this week.
How far is too far when it comes to helping a client? For the bank HSBC, they may have been offering one helping hand too many.
The bank was marketing products that would allow the clients to avoid tax, and also they weren't necessarily being very careful with the clientele that they were taking into the bank.
As the clocks tick down to the day when Greece runs out of money,
we discussed the possibility of an extension, but we haven't quite come to that conclusion as yet.
Last year, music lovers around the world streamed 146 billion songs onto their computers, tablets and smartphones using services like Spotify. But there is a catch. Hardly anyone is making any money from it.
We've had far too many small players fragmenting the market. What we need is a smaller group of large players. They can shape the market, move people away from the free services towards the paid-for ones.
So did you spot them? HSBC hits the headlines after leaked documents showed its Swiss private banking arm helped wealthy customers dodge millions of dollars of tax. Greece begins talks with its international creditors to try and reach a deal on its debt burden. And we asked, is music streaming still the future as one big market player leaves the party? Well, to talk about this, I was joined by David Friedman, writer for The Atlantic, and Mark Gilbert, Bloomberg News' London Bureau Chief. And I began by asking Mark if he was surprised at the revelations about HSBC.
Sad to say that there's nothing that can surprise you anymore about learning about bank malpractice, bending the rules, pushing the envelope, however you want to put it. It can't be a surprise to anyone. And I think that the fact that the Treasury Select Committee, Andrew Tyrie, have decided they need to get the HSBC guys in front of them and actually cross-examine them over what was happening in those private wealth bank accounts gives you an indication of the seriousness of the situation, given that the Treasury Select Committee is supposed to be closing down for the election.
The Treasury Select Committee is a leading committee in the UK Parliament probing different financial affairs. It has a lot of clout, doesn't it? David Friedman for The Atlantic, how has this story been reported in the United States?
Well, of course, we love stories where banks are getting what's coming to them. Back in 1981, during the Iran-Iraq war, Henry Kissinger lamented here that from a U.S. policy point of view, it was too bad that both sides couldn't lose. And I think that's the problem with this story. I mean, in other great banking scandals, we've had the victims, often the common person. It's you and me who have been victimized. But in this case, I mean, who are we supposed to be rooting for? The corrupt bank or the corrupt clients hiding money or the U.S. or French or U.K. tax collectors? You can't really point to a sympathetic victim here. And of course, that's really wrong. We're all victims when we have a corrupt financial system.
Talking about people paying their taxes, that's one of the gripes that some in the Eurozone have had against certain individuals in Greece. One of the things that they're saying about why Greece isn't able to pay back its debts. Mark Gilbert, have you been watching closely these talks with the new Greek government and the Troika?
I think the big thing about tax was where the German finance minister, Wolfgang Schäuble, said, listen, we've offered to send 500 tax experts over there to help you sort out your tax system. And so far, you haven't accepted our offer. There's definitely a suspicion that there's something rotten at the heart of the Greek tax collection system. Not just the willingness of individuals to dodge taxes, but at the very centre of the tax collecting system, there has been a lack of, if you like, appetite for going after those taxes. It seems that is one thing that the new government does have an appetite for, and you might see change of, but I think they really should be taking the Germans up on that offer to have some tax experts in there, if nothing else, to show willing on the issue.
Yeah, well, David Friedman, of course, what's happening in Greece has repercussions around the world. The markets certainly watch it closely, all these different discussions. The Greek government has promised to do whatever we can to secure a deal with its international creditors, but it has its hands tied to some extent, doesn't it?
Yes, and I think, here in the U.S., we watch this story, and it's hard for us to understand, again, certainly at an abstract level, we're certainly involved. But otherwise, I mean, the whole Eurozone problems here often, to many of us here in the U.S., just seems something that's a bit removed from us. And it seems sort of obvious to us. I mean, I've certainly felt this way, that look, in the end, cooler heads are going to prevail. There's been a lot of hysteria here about how Germany and Greece, absolutely neither one would compromise on this. And now, lo and behold, it looks like both sides are ready to compromise somewhat. Certainly a wonderful solution would be if a lot of unpaid tax money could be uncovered. That's almost too good to be true. But let's hope the solution is something that simple. But I suspect everyone's going to have to give here, and it looks like both sides finally are ready to do so.
Yeah, I'm sure as well there were lots of patriotic songs being played on the airwaves in Greece when the new government was elected. And talking about music, the streaming services are back in the spotlight this week. Of course, streaming is the kind of latest way to listen to music, but it certainly seems as though you can't really make that much money out of it, can you? Because we hear that AT&T are actually quitting the market. How's this gone down, David Friedman, in the US?
Well, the streaming has really taken over here, certainly in music, I mean, increasingly so in video. I happen to be an audiophile, and up until very recently, I was one of the last holdouts still buying CDs because of their better quality. Well, now we have a streaming service. You've had it in Europe. Now we have it here in the U.S. called Tidal, which actually streams CD quality. So that's it. I'm done owning media. Everything I listen to is streaming now. And the question of whether you can make money at it, I think we're looking at a transitional period. We're at a win market right now. The streaming services do have to offer their services at really below cost in many cases. But I think that will change over time, and they will eventually be able to make money at it. So those that can stick with it will eventually, I think, become quite wealthy offering these services.
But Mark Gilbert, will those artists become wealthy who are supplying all the tunes to the streaming services?
Listen, watch out for some huge name dropping here. So I was at Bono's party in Davos a few years ago. I was listening to Peter Gabriel, who's really tall. He's huge. You wouldn't believe how tall he is. And Daniel Ek, who started Spotify. And Gabriel was crowding over him, stabbing the air with his fingers, saying, listen, we don't get paid for the music that you're streaming. You are going to ruin the industry because there won't be any money to develop artists. And I think it's a genuine concern. These streaming services, yes, it's picking up pennies in front of a steamroller. And if you look at how many acts nowadays get to do two or three or four albums versus that first album that the company puts the money behind, music development is in a real tight spot. And the streaming services, yes, great for consumers, not so good for the industry long term.
And that was Mark Gilbert from Bloomberg News, ending that discussion with David Friedman, writer for The Atlantic, and discussions over whether streaming is good for artists, I'm sure, will run and run.
For more interviews and analysis of global business, search for BBC World Business Report for our daily half-hour podcast.